hello. Welcome to the Grace Hour. It's Thursday, and we're coming to you live from our studio here in Baltimore, Maryland. This is the online outreach, one of many online outreaches related to Greater Grace World Outreach, based in Baltimore at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. And we're a very active, healthy, missions-minded church, local church serving the community of Baltimore, several communities in Baltimore, actually, and several communities in Maryland, and then throughout the United States and, of course, around the world. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, your host for today. Today is a throwback day, which means we dig into the radio archives or the audio archives of Pastor Carl Stevens, the founder of the Grace Hour, which began as a telephone radio talk show back in Maine and New England, and then it went nationwide and worldwide. And of course, as radio changes and as the way of communications change, we've become now an online internet-based program. So we're on for about an hour today, and we do have some phone numbers that you could use to call us. 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number that you could use. Also, this number, especially for the Baltimore area, and this number is good worldwide, 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear your comments and questions and testimonies about the topic. We're talking about lifting truth out of the street. We've had good discussions about how the cultural framework has really put truth in the crosshairs. What is truth? Is there such thing as truth? Of course, this isn't a new thing. If we go to the Gospel of John, we understand that Pilate, in his conversation with Christ, raised that very question. Jesus said to him, "I am of the kingdom of truth, and all those who believe and serve truth understand who I am." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Well, let me introduce this thing before we get to Pastor Stevens' clips today, the audio clips from him. He's going to talk about something, what was given before the world began. So we understand from the Bible, and let's start there. The premise of our broadcast and the premise of our organization and the premise of our lives and those who sit behind these microphones is that the Bible is truth. And Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy, talking about the Word of God is inspired, and that means it's given, it's Spirit-breathed into the human writers of it. Yes, human beings wrote it down. About 40 different people wrote these things that we call the Holy Scriptures. So that being the case, we rest our mindset on the fact that the Bible is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's suitable for correction and for direction and to teach us in the ways of righteousness. And that's where we're drawing the line, that the Bible is an authority for life. And this authority for life came before the foundation of the world. And so this is an interesting element, like, when did the thought of God begin? When did the thought of God begin? Of course, we take it from the Bible that God is eternal, everlasting. He is. He's permanently present with us and always has been permanently present. He has no beginning. He has no ending. This is a principle that we've learned from Pastor Stevens. It was communicated from our pulpit from Pastor Schaller last night. The idea of God being the I am that I am, that he is, always is. And the way that Pastor Stevens framed this concept was that now just passed by, tomorrow does not exist today, and that the past is gone forever. I think I switched that up a little bit. It should go this way. The past is gone forever, now just passed by, and tomorrow does not exist today. God is. He is present. He is always present. Now, if we go to Proverbs 8, this says something to us. Now, Proverbs is a great book of wisdom. we said on yesterday's program that if you could learn to guide your life by what's said in these pages, you would live a very good, diligent, honest life that is missing gossip and slander, because there's some counsel there. You would be fair. You would be just. You would understand that sleeping too much does damage. You would also understand that wine mocks you. And but also in Proverbs, there's an interesting, it's really presenting wisdom as someone, a person, a woman, to be romanced. And you should embrace wisdom. Leave it to Solomon, a man who had many women in his lives, to give you a direction about wisdom. And it says, Proverbs 8, verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up. At the first, before, here it is, before the beginning of the earth, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its field, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked up the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, always rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. That's a big statement about where the Word of God came from. The Word of God, before it was written in our scriptures, was in the mind of God. And when it started to be employed or expressed, God said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. As it was expressed, it wasn't a new thing. It was an eternal thing. And this is the point that Pastor Stevens is going to make in his teaching today that we listen to, is that truth, regardless of how it is treated in the streets of life, in the conversations that people have about it, in the articles they write about it and try to diminish it, truth has always been. It has always been in the mind and heart of God. Its expression has come to us. It has been a revelation. And actually, the word for revelation is a Greek word, apokalyptos, which means an unveiling. And so our lives are being unveiled, but actually we were in the mind of God before he even made anything else. And the Word of God was in the heart and mind of God, expressed in the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and among them it goes back. It goes back to things that we can't understand, incomprehensible, eternity to eternity. And so Pastor Stevens is going to make a point using the epistle of 2 Timothy, an older, wise man, now in prison, Paul, getting ready to be executed, is advising a younger disciple, a spiritual son, a pastor in training, and a pastor in practice also. And Paul is going to tell Timothy, what we live by is big and eternal. And you may be fearful, you may be wondering what's going to happen in the days to come, but what we have in our hearts is not going to go stale. It is eternal. It is something you can live by. So let's listen to what Pastor Stevens has to say about the nature of truth.
The unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul is writing to Timothy, the unfeigned faith, that is a faith that did not have hypocrisy, a faith that was not double-minded in Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, the first one that was responsible for beautifully imparting this particular faith was the grandmother Lois, and then thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Notice, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Here's a very special passage that we'd like to elaborate on this morning. It's a passage that deals with a mystery in the plan of God. A mystery in the plan of God. Now, God's plan is indeed a mystery that is revealed to those that experience a significant and very deep personal relationship with him. Now, a verse that is very special, and they all are in this passage, verse 9, that everyone that is saved, and especially he's writing to Timothy, is called not according to works. Not according to works, but according to God's own purpose. Oh, I suppose that that passage must be revealed in its deep chambers of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. We are not called according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. That's the phrase that I want to captivate your imaginations and your thinking. God is not dealing with us from his viewpoint at this hour in any system of works. He is not dealing with us in any way according to our own purpose. The whole key to effective Christian living, to successful Christian joy, is to realize that this whole thing was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, we understand that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Number two, we realize that those that he knew would be saved, he chose before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:4.
And that's Pastor Carl Stevens talking from 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's speaking to Timothy about the calling that he has. Now, this is a personal letter. We should recognize this. This is a personal letter. Paul is writing directly, man to man, pastor to pastor, telling Timothy that you may feel very insecure with the way the world is progressing. You may also be very fearful about my situation, Paul is saying. What is Paul's situation at that point in church history? Paul is in a Roman jail. Not the previous kind of arrangement that we see at the book of Acts when he was like under house arrest with a soldier with him. This, he's probably deep into Caesar's dungeon. And the time frame for his elimination, because remember, the Church of Christ is challenging the status quo. It's challenging the idea that the Caesar of Rome is somehow divine, somehow supernatural, and worthy of worship. No, there's only one worthy of worship in the life of a Christian, and that is God. And why is that? The point is that because God has always existed before, from before the world began. And so if we can grab this thought, is what Paul is communicating. You have to see your standing in God as something that was in the mind and purpose of God before the foundation of creation. Before God said, let there be light, and it's recorded to us, this concept, this purpose of his related to every one of our lives was considered and planned, and we are his workmanship, prepared and ordained to express who he is. And that's what Paul is using. That's the reasoning that Paul is using to encourage Timothy in this. Pastor Schaller?
Yeah, when in the context, Pastor Steve, of Timothy's life, Timothy, as you mentioned earlier, maybe tendency to be intimidated by the circumstances. Don't be ashamed of my chain. You have God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Also, maybe this chatter that happens in a church, the vain babblings, the proud people talking, and how Timothy had to be sure that he had a calling, and it wasn't based on him. It was based on something decided in God before time began. This is a great reference for us because we all have our, you know, there's a pastor, let's say, 4 miles up the road. I'm making this up, but he's in a little parsonage there and sitting in the basement of the church this morning, praying and studying. And, you know, he could be discouraged, but remember what Paul said to Timothy was that you have a calling and you have a purpose that was decided in God before time began. So this is a great reference for life. This is the anchor of your soul, the governing element for decision making and a general sense of well-being, because this is about God. God has called you. God hasn't died. God hasn't left his throne. God isn't confused. God has authority, and the truth keeps marching on.
I think what we see here is the beginning, is if Timothy is having an identity crisis, right? He could be having an identity crisis, which is, you know, really a fundamental problem in our present society, the crisis of identity that people are trying to discover by going internal and embracing their feelings and trying to project their feelings on other people as the reality. And then Paul is like turning Timothy to a reality about his purpose and calling. If this reality about you being called from before the foundation of the world, then nothing in this present world can challenge that. You said it last night, Pastor Schaller, about like you don't have to answer your past anymore. That you don't have to answer your past anymore. You don't have to worry about where you're going in the future. You just have God with you right now. So for those who are watching, Pastor Schaller preached a message at our pulpit last night. You can listen to it. Very good, from 1 Kings 17 about Elijah. And Elijah was a man much like us. And we find that Elijah had to live in the presence of God as a preacher of righteousness in a wicked culture. And God provided for him. And God was present with him. And the eternal presence of God is something that is really, like Pastor Stevens mentioned in the first part, there is a mystery about this. There is an incomprehensibility about this. It is above and beyond anything that we could process or think with our human brains. We have to receive it. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. You have to receive this reality from God that you are more than what's happening to you just now. You have been this person, and you have been in the purpose of God from before God's speaking and making the world as it is.
You know, Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart, he is a fool. All right, so
here we
you
go.
Know, you know, like that's. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So, you know, if you're an airplane pilot, you have to follow the gauges on your dash. You got to figure, you know, what you're doing, and you cannot trust your own heart. Fly by the seat of your pants. Remember that phrase when the plane descended, you were light in the seat. When you ascended, the pressure bore down on the seat. So this is how people flew the plane. And it's also how they crashed. Mm. Because you can't really trust these feelings. And if you trust your own heart, then you are a fool, according to the proverb. And I think that's a good word for us today.
Yeah, it is. It is a good word. And we have a question here from Ismene. How can I apply this principle to my personal life, called from God's, since I am a woman and I am not a pastor? Well, these are principles for living. You too were chosen from before the foundation of the world. You too were called and elected by God. Whosoever will may come, that's a big statement to say. That's the truth. And it's also true that God has known you and loved you and prepared for you your life situations from before the foundation of the world. I mean, when we mess up, when we go through the red light and something happens that's dangerous or maybe even tragic, well, did God plan that? Did God ordain that? The human volition is real. The power of decision is real. But also the sovereignty and providence of God is also real. So see yourself that way, Ismene. You see yourself as Timothy is being encouraged to see himself, as someone called into a purpose of God that's a mystery. That was a mystery to him until Paul found him. You know, Timothy had, you're going to hear it coming up in just a moment from Pastor Stevens. Timothy had a grandmother and a mother who taught him about the things of God. Comments, Pastor?
Yeah, she's asking a good question. Does Second Timothy, the epistle written to Timothy, apply to a believer today, male or female, and or is it only for pastors? It is called in a pastoral epistle, and is addressing Timothy personally, but all of it is so useful for all of us and how to live, because the principles, in a way, Galatians teaches there is no male or female in Christ Jesus, that these spiritual truths apply to all of us, male or female, whether you're a pastor or not, still be like a disciplined teacher, single-minded soldier, a farmer, a diligent workman, a gentle servant, a sanctified vessel in chapter 2. Regarding apostasy, we have good instruction there in chapter 3, and the value of living by the word and meditating on it and embracing it. So your question is good, but be before God in reading the epistle and see how it applies to you in your life. And the follow-up verse 10 of chapter 1, but has now been revealed to us by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. He has appeared to us, right, male and female, who has abolished death, for male and female, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, male or female. So even though you're right, specifically it's written to Timothy, the application is for all of us. And what is it, really? It is that truth is transcending this world in all of our lives, and we are called to relate to it, walk in it, and it will have a great effect.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I started today by thinking, like, by expressing our mindset is rooted in the truth of the Bible, and particularly in 2 Timothy. Later in the letter, Paul declares this, makes a powerful declaration that all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God, given by God, breathed by the Spirit, profitable for teaching, for reproof, which is a great word, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the person of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So, you know, we are basing our mindset on this foundation, that, you know, what was in the mind of God expressed in Scripture is profitable to teach us something. And then I always look at reproof, maybe you do too, as being taught again and then getting taught again.
Okay.
It's like, I have a proof, but now I'm learning it again, learning it all over again. You taught me something and learning it all over again. Like, I wake up every morning and the sun comes up. Oh, it's there. It's just a reproof to me that the order of the creation is still operating. That's a reproof to me.
Yes.
Just the sunrise could be a reproof to me, you know. But the scriptures are that way.
And I think of it as, it's written too in Proverbs 6, 22 and 23, reproofs are a way of life, it says. And I think of it as the way I drive a car. I look at the mirrors, I look at the gauges, I drive the car, I'm constantly making like little corrections. You know, I'm too far to the right, I just move a little more center. I got my blinker on, oh, I've had my blinker on too long, I already made the turn. You know, I look in the rearview mirror, I see a guy's very close on my tail. I mean, all of this is like not bad. This is good reproof. This is a way of life. This is a way of being guided and corrected in life.
Yeah, and I think of it even like that. This is just like what is it? It's not. We call it common sense, but reproof is just really telling us the reality, telling us all over again reality. Well, it's 11:30 here in Baltimore, Eastern Time in the United States. You're listening to the Grace Hour, coming to you live Pastor Tom Schaller. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. We're going to take a call in just a moment. If you'd like to call us, 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number you can use. Local number in Baltimore and worldwide, 410-483-3700. Harry, you're calling from Baltimore. What's your comment on this subject? Harry, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Pastor.
Yep. Go ahead. Hurry up.
Yes. Hi, Pastor.
What's your comment, Harry? We're waiting to hear it.
Are you there?
We're here. Go ahead, Harry.
Oh, okay, now we got it. Yeah, thank you so much for today. Praise God. This is awesome broadcast. And what you just said a little bit ago about reproof, I remember Dr. J. Vernon McGee said if God was going to say something new, he'd only repeat his same word back to him. You know, I thought that was fresh about the reproof there. And thank God for his eternal purpose, Ephesians 3, you know, that he purposed in his son and in Titus. And I remember once I was saved, I was 18, and I jumped in the car to go to a Bible study down Oakland, in Pittsburgh, and the lady next to me was about 50, and she had this angelic smile on her face, and someone asked her a question, and they were just buzzing along going in the Bible study, and she said, "Don't you know it's all in the plan?" I never seen lady again. It was like, was that an angel? Yeah, it was an angel. Who knows? It was a real person, but I was thinking that sets a precedent, like God, before the foundation of the world, you know, shed his blood, and that's, he wants everyone to know that eternal purpose. I just wanted to call it, appreciate the broadcast. Thank you.
All right.
And especially for that, what you said.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Harry. You're listening to the Grace Hour? All right. You too. And we're going to go to our next segment. Is that okay with you, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to the next segment from Pastor Stevens. The title of this message is What Was Given Before the World Began. The clip number is 4262. That's good for you to know, because if you want to listen to the whole program, you can go to the Greater Grace Archive at ggwo.org and listen to the entire message. We're playing just bits and pieces of it. Although they are profound in their compactness, the whole message also might edify you. All right, so let's go to the second segment today.
Now here is God saying, listen, I've called you with a sacred calling. As holy as the calling is, it's not according to your works, but it's according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. I'm reiterating it. I want it to take time to sink in your frontal lobe so you begin to grasp it in the power of the Spirit. Before the world began. That's the phrase that I want you to understand. Before the world began. Now, the average believer does not understand that and does not comprehend that and cannot experience that. It's amazing how disenchanted, how disinterested people are about life. It's amazing how people can study the Word of God and not even be hungry for the Word of God every day. God has his own purpose for everything that happens to a Christian's life. But he doesn't mention his own purpose without mentioning grace. His own purpose, and you could say his own grace, which was given us. His own purpose and his own grace was given us. We have, in the things that happen, we have God's own purpose and God's own grace given to us through Christ Jesus before the world began. Timothy had been beautifully taught by his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, two very unique Christians. We have mentioned in the past that as far as we know, Eunice backslid and married an unsaved Greek, and who probably left her within a year, and she brought up Timothy with her mother. And the grandmother and the mother established a godly home for Timothy. And he knew the Word of God very well, and he understood categorical doctrine. But as a pastor who was fully equipped, who was beautifully taught by his grandmother and mother, Timothy has a problem with fear, and Timothy has a problem with Paul's persecution. He fears people to some degree, and he also not only fears people, but he fears persecution. In this particular second epistle of Timothy, this pastoral epistle, was when Timothy finally became a mature believer. The first number of years in Timothy's ministry, he couldn't make it. When he took over the ministry at Corinth and replaced Apollos, the great orator who didn't have doctrine properly, Timothy couldn't make it because he didn't understand why the scriptures weren't applicable in his preaching to the experience of the church. The church was going through a tremendous problem, much differently than Paulus. Timothy spoke on categorical doctrine to try to clear up the divisions in Corinth. He spoke very uniquely, very correctly. He gave sound words. But the preaching of sound words, church history says, didn't resolve the problems. And women came against him. And they were not like his grandmother, Lois, or his mother, Eunice. They were made up of emotionalism, distorted on the gifts at that time. And Timothy came down with a very serious stomach problem. And he developed an ulcer. And every time he got up to preach, he didn't know how to handle himself. He was intimidated. He was indicted by the women's criticism of his pastorate. And he felt more and more pain in his stomach, and he feared preaching. He even, as well as he knew the Bible, he feared to preach. So Paul wrote him this beautiful epistle in gentleness and instructions to his spiritual son, and he took him back to think of his grandmother and to think of his mother, who day in and day out had taught him categories. He honored him by saying, "You have unfeigned faith, faith without hypocrisy." He reminds him to stir up the gift which was given to him by the elders when they laid hands upon him.
And that's the second segment from this message, What Was Given Before the World Began. Pastor Carl Stevens, founder of the Grace Hour, talking about these passages in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here, maybe more pragmatic, practical kind of direction that Paul has given to Timothy, who is a pastor, and he is leading a congregation, and that congregation is having some difficulty. Do you know anything about that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yep. Yes. It was very interesting, as Pastor said, that Timothy was sent to Corinth and had the difficulty there. And he said, maybe Pastor Steve, you could comment on this. Timothy had good messages, sound biblical doctrinal messages, but they did not deliver the people. So, mm-hmm. what do you think that means? Like, kind of, I know we need to embellish it a little bit with our imagination. I don't know how much we actually know about it in specifics, but in principle, how does that? I can see it happening. I have something to say about it, but I wanted to hear what you had to say.
I think you know, when I was studying for the process of ordination and everything like that, becoming a pastor, one of the things that, you know, you learned early was that you can't make right decisions for people. You know, we have something from God. God does open the scriptures to us. We talked a little bit about it yesterday after the broadcast, that we are very rich in one way. We have a lot of riches. God has chosen to gift us with a hunger for the Word of God and an ability to search out the scriptures and to present it. And so we have opportunity to do that. So, you know, God gives us, you know, what you said, like we know the word rhema. God gives us something from his mind. It's a spirit, something inspired. And we teach that, and we're just believing that people are receiving it. And sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they don't.
Yes. You know, the pastor could be spiritually minded, doctrinally solid, very clear, but a little bit afraid, a little bit intimidated. But then when he delivers his message in the church, it is received, let's say, 50% of the people. Just to use a number, they don't get it. They don't get it. And the others do. And if there are powerful personalities in that group that doesn't get it, doesn't like it, or they don't understand what you're talking about, or they have no capacity for that, then, and if some of them are strong personalities, they can cause a lot of trouble. And they simply say, you know, Timothy's a great guy, but I don't get it. He doesn't minister to me. That's all they have to do. It's all enough of them saying that, and that disturbs the Timothy. And if he already had this insecurity, maybe didn't have the male leadership in his own family. We heard that was a women, Lois and Eunice, raising him, and he didn't have that male leadership, and maybe also he had a tendency to back off. And this is a great lesson in leadership. From Paul's point of view, he would say, I'm not giving up on this guy. This guy's a treasure. This guy knows the Bible from his youth. This guy has all the capacity. He actually has a calling from before time began. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that God is all over this guy, and he's the answer for the church. He's a gifted guy, and he has a great ministry. Don't let carnal people drive you out of the pulpit.
Wow. We're going to encapsulate that. That's a Bible college statement if ever there was one. Maybe you're a pastor listening to this. We do have pastors around the world listening to this. And this is what, you know, Paul recognizes the value of Timothy, maybe more than Timothy recognizes his own value. And he's trying to solidify Timothy's mindset, because Paul is really, by the end of this letter, Paul is like brokenheartedly saying, you know, come and see me before it's too late. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be gone soon. The time of my departure is close. And, you know, he wants Timothy to be grounded in his identity as a man called by God from before the foundation of the world. So two things we think about. We understand that we are all sinners saved by grace. We are depraved. That's the truth about who we are. But we are also all called before the foundation of the world. And what came first? The calling before the foundation of the world came way before anyone ever fell. And so these things, it's a mystery. It's hard to reconcile in our minds, but we just have to receive them and hold on to them.
There's a verse, Isaiah 2:22, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Yeah, it means like you can't care too much about what people are saying or thinking. You know, just knock it off. Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils versus me who called you from before time began.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay, we're going to go to our third segment today. This segment is from Pastor Stephen's message, What Was Given Before the World Began. Let's listen to this final piece from this message.
Then he said, in so many words, Timothy, God isn't the author of your fear. You remember what your grandmother taught you? You don't have to fear. You remember what your mother taught you? You don't have to fear men. So he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. See, Paul was a very proven, practical, spirit-filled leader, because he didn't point to Timothy. He wanted to say what he did and to make it be very kind and very loving. So he uses the word us. Often here, I'll use the word, you and I, us, we are sinners. Of course, you know I'm not a sinner. I mean, I just, I'm only teasing you visitors. We're a family here, and we serve 24 hours a day, 7 days, so we have humor. And if you don't like humor, then watch Bob Hope and Burns. I don't know if you ought to watch him. You might get some bad habits, but anyway, Paul said us. Now, some of you guys would get up and preach. I don't think you guys would, but some preachers get up, and it's the most interesting thing in the world. And you listen to them, and all day they say, you people should do this. You should do this. I just want to hear one, we should do this. Well, that's how Paul handled Timothy's serious problem. He said, for God had not given us the spirit. He could have said, Timothy, stop being a coward. Oh, no, he'll say that if Timothy doesn't get right down the road. But right now, he is going to handle it in gentleness. And Timothy was living, even though he was controlled by the scriptures, he was living in weakness. So God, through Paul, said, God has given us power. Timothy didn't understand unconditional love. His stomach problems were produced by conditional love. He was reacting at those women, just like you and I would. But God has given us power and love. And Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, God has given us a sound mind. And then he goes on graciously to explain that he's not ashamed of being afflicted. He's not ashamed of being a prisoner. And he's not ashamed of his calling at all. He uses us, but he explains he's not ashamed. So he says to Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me of his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according not to your weakness, not to your fears, but according to the power of God. And in this chapter, Timothy is so beautifully taught. And when he finally comes into a place where he's about to enter into maturity, Paul refers first to his grandmother, gives her credit, then he refers to his mother, and he gives her credit, then he takes it back to Jesus Christ before the world began, and says that's how it all happened, to his own purpose and grace, which was given to you before the world began. What a beautiful order. And even when the husband wasn't around for Timothy, even when he didn't have a father, he had Jesus Christ, his grandmother, and his mother. It's a story then from Paul, who was saying to him, listen, for this cause, the cause of the cross, the cause of love, have I suffered all these things. He said, I am not ashamed. Timothy had been ashamed because he'd never experienced what he had been taught. He'd never experienced what he'd been taught. He had seen his mother and grandmother live it before him. He had seen Paul live it before him, but he'd never experienced what he'd been taught. And even though he was a capable, qualified, gifted preacher, he didn't have a maturity to live in God's own purpose. He was living in his purpose with the scriptures, but not God's own purpose. If somebody's living in their purpose, they consistently have problems. They consistently never get rid of the past. They consistently never make good decisions for the present. When it's their purpose, they don't have God's own grace. I can't have God's own grace operating, even though I have it, if I don't have God's own purpose.
And that's the third segment from Pastor Stephen's message, What Was Given Before the World Began. We hope you've enjoyed those three segments. Paul, a very personal discussion with Timothy, and we heard that Paul identified with Timothy, and Paul's older, and Timothy is the younger, and Paul is not, is telling him that I've worked my way through some of these things, and it's us, it's not you that's the problem, we're all in this together, and that's the nature of discipleship, right, Pastor? It's like we are leading people together with ourselves.
Yes. I like that verse, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me. So, you could imagine Paul and Timothy talking, and Paul, it's a casual conversation, and then comes the doctrine that bites into reality. And Paul said, hold fast to those sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love. So that's a good verse for us to memorize, actually, and think about. And then you do experience what you are believing, and you embrace it, and you can live by it, and you can share it. And I do think Timothy having a stomach problem, probably ulcers, as Pastor is suggesting. Maybe not, I don't know. But anyway, I can see that Timothy, you could definitely draw a picture of insecurity, fear, a picture of like weak leadership. And then that pastoral care that Paul has, that encouragement, and that goes a long ways. I think we should take that to the bank, how much we encourage others. Men of God are made, they're kind of like not born automatically, great leaders, they know the Bible and so on. No, they are made over a period of time, and they need a lot of encouragement.
I think that's what Paul is saying is, you have an example. I've been your example. There's a pattern, and you've heard me teach these things. And now, there's a thing that Pastor Stevens talked about, doctrine becoming governmental. Like, you can have so much information, but does the information guide you? Do you let the information guide you? Does the idea that you are called according to the purpose of God guide you and help you as you're facing these difficulties?
Another interesting thing, it doesn't seem as though Timothy has any particular, human strength. Like, we know that Apollos was an inspirational speaker. How Apollos was very learned in the scripture. He also had forceful arguments. We also read about Titus. It seems like Titus was a strong leader, and Paul sent him to Crete. And so Paul is choosing the weaker brother, so to speak, the one that not with those natural talents necessarily, because we're just, picking at this and trying to understand it better. But that the fact that he takes a weaker brother, sees his potential, pours on the investment, pours on the encouragement, and says, just hold fast to the sound words.
Yeah, it's true. And it's important. One of the questions from our producers today, if truth was given before the world began, why do so many people have trouble believing in it? And I think maybe some of it is that we're not always so great at living by it. Like, we have a lot of truth, but do we live by it? So forgive us. You know, leadership is a peril, and, you know, that's a perilous kind of thing to be in. And, you know, Timothy is not having the effect on the congregation that maybe he would like to have, and he has to search his own heart. Am I really believing in who I am? And maybe Paul is seeing that and guiding him in that. And I think, you know, ultimately, you know, what people see about the truth and understand about the timelessness of God's design for us and purpose for us comes down to us living it out, doesn't it?
Yes. There might be another part to it, and it is that people, you know, when you are wanting to be submitted, you are looking for truth. When you're wanting to, you know, you've lived your own way, your own life for a while, and it's kind of boring, and that doesn't mean a lot. You just do whatever you want. But when you choose to submit to God, you look for authority, and the Bible is that authority. So you look for the authority, you're submitted to that authority, and then actually the scripture says we adorn the doctrine of God. Mm. We adorn the doctrine. It's like a Christmas tree being adorned. You take a tree and you start putting ornaments on it. And in a way, our lives like adorn the doctrine, like it's a testimony that this works.
Yeah, that's a good picture, because I think, like, in our house anyway, like, the tree tells a story, you know, because the ornaments are from, you know, yeah. I don't know how the tree is in your house, but ours, our, you know, here's an ornament, here's a flamingo ornament that we got at the ocean, and there's a picture of us, and then here's this when this child was born, and, you know, these things were given by my mother, and this one is all the way back from my grandmother. And I think that's, you know, I mean, the answer to that is, like, we are responsible. We are responsible to, you know, and Paul is putting the onus on Timothy that, you know, Timothy, start thinking of yourself in this way, and then watch the difference that happens in your congregation. This is the secret. You have a identity in Christ. Well, there we are. We've done it. Pastor Schaller, thanks for being with me. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, our engineer today, and producer, Sebastian Palmieri. The Grace Hour happens every day at 11 o'clock, Monday through Friday. We'll be back again with the conclusion of this week's topic about truth falling in the street. How do you lift it up? So we hope you've enjoyed this discussion about Paul and Timothy, and these things have encouraged you. Think about them. You can hear the whole message at gracehour.org if you want to hear it all over again. Thanks, friends, at Facebook, YouTube, and all around the world. Have a great Thursday.